everybody. Happy Friday evening. We are Across the Pitch. I am your co-host, Mike Barrera, mbarrera1323 on Twitter. And to my side is my British friend, Dave Miller at DaveGFCMiller, also on Twitter. Dave, how you doing this Friday night?
Yeah, what's up? Yeah, I mean, nothing much really. Spent a day traveling today, so you know, just chilling now, just relaxing. And tomorrow, how about yourself?
Awesome. Well, I mean, the Eagles are 1-0, so that's a good start to the week, right? We had a nail-biting, stressful-ass win against the Lions. What else is new? Yeah. No, it's been a busy week, as it always is with me. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow's earlier game, kind of get it right in the middle of the day, 3:30, 3:50-ish start time for us out here in the States. So not too late for you, Dave. Are you going to be able to watch the match at all or no?
Yeah, should be fine. I should be able to watch it, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So tomorrow night for AAT Sports Network, I will be covering the match. So I'll give you some live tweets, try to take care of the press conference, that kind of good stuff right there. But oh, hold on. Got to get the keys because there you go, Chris. Getting some food, some takeout. Here we go. All right. Anyway, back in action here with our live show. like I said, tomorrow night, 3:30, the Union travel to Atlanta to take on Atlanta United. And Dave, it's been a pretty busy week for the Union because on Tuesday night, we had some action in the Eastern and Western Conference. If you guys were watching and following along on Twitter as well as I was, Montreal faced off against Chicago. If Chicago had won, we would have been able to clinch the top spot in the East. Unfortunately, Chicago sucks, so Montreal ended up pulling out that home win. But, Dave, we had Minnesota took care of business and pulled out the draw against LAFC.
Yeah.
So now the Union are 2 points ahead of the LAFC opponent there for the Supporters Shield race, and they are both now even at 3 games remaining. The game in hand is now over with Minnesota having taken care of business on Tuesday. So the Shield is in our sights. We are in the driver's seat in both the Eastern Conference as well as the MLS. Dave, how are you feeling now after Tuesday night's results?
I think now you have to sort of feel some form of confidence. You can't now, obviously it's in your hand as well, so I guess there's that extra pressure, isn't there, of beforehand there wasn't that much pressure on the Union to, you know, go out there and, you know, we're sort of playing catch up. We just have to make sure we can stay within an arm's length. But now the pressure really is on of it's in our hands now. It's in their hands now. They're the ones that have to set the standard. They have to set the bar for LAFC to catch up with, and obviously now heading into another big game this weekend against Atlanta, who again I think Jim's alluded to it a couple of times now. Like these games late on in the season, sort of the table means nothing in a sense because everyone's fighting for something. Like Atlanta again, they're ninth in the Eastern Conference, but they're fighting for a playoff place. They're actually 3 points outside a playoff place. So again, there's so much to fight for, and that makes these teams that okay, the Union are first and flying, but it makes teams like Atlanta look. But Atlanta becomes so much more dangerous, and already they're a very talented team themselves. They're no pushovers there. They're a strong team anyway.
Yeah, we got fortunate when we played Orlando because Orlando had just come off the Open Cup win. We were kind of rotating some players. We took care of business with that 5-1 victory at home. But now we're traveling to Atlanta. Now, if you remember when we played Atlanta at home, I know the result was great. We had a good win. But the problem was, in those first 20 minutes or so, Atlanta played pretty tight. And there was a point in the press conference after the game where Jim was like, you know what? I've actually thought this might have been the night where we kind of, like, you know, draw at home or maybe can't pull out the win. Now you're going to Atlanta. And now you're playing in their territory. We know Atlanta fans just hate us for whatever reason. So it's just going to be a hostile environment. Between the two road matches, which is Charlotte and Atlanta, I am more worried about Charlotte, but I am still definitely worried about Atlanta because I do think I do think they can at least pull out the draw against us, and if not beat us, which would be just the worst thing in the world in terms of the Supporters Shield standings. Now, for those who aren't really following the LAFC as closely, they have 3 games left. Like I said, they host Houston, they travel to Portland, which is a really tough game for them, and then they host Nashville, which, even though it's at home, it's still Nashville. Nashville's a pretty strong squad. So they have 2 out of 3 games that are against very, very tough opponents. But Dave, I'm right there with you, man. I expect Atlanta to come out not looking at all like we saw them the entire game last time when we took care of business after that, you know, once we got the lead back. So I'm pretty concerned. But Jim did have a press conference regarding this past week's game and the previous week. As we know, when Ali Bedoya scored his goal, he came up feeling a little bit weird on his groin. Reading off Joe Tanzi's Twitter account right now regarding the press conference, he said Bedoya fell the pull on his groin on Saturday, but he has trained a full week of practice this week. So it looks like Bedoya will be good to go, which is awesome to hear. On Jose Martinez, I know, Dave, you and I discussed this when it happened, when he basically headbutted the guy but hit him with a chest. Luckily, it looks like Jose's in the clear. It was just a chest-to-chest contact. But what were your thoughts when you saw that? Because a lot of people had some mixed opinions on the headbutt that was Jose Martinez.
And when I first saw it, I had a feeling. I just thought, oh, no, he's gone. He's going to get sent off, isn't he? But, thank God. Obviously, nothing came of it, because it could have been a very different game on our Saturday. And, I think it was – again, it's one of those ones where even what he did, it was still stupid. It was something you really are running the risk with, because, again, VAR could have looked at it at the one angle where it looked like it was a headbutt, which he did on the TV. You had to watch it in extreme slow motion like you did to see that he's actually hit him with his chest, because in normal time, it looks like he's just headbutting. So, it was I thought it was stupid.
Well, for one, it was stupid. So, Orlando was very visibly just trying to get Jose pissed off, which they ended up doing. Even against Atlanta, you saw Dwyer getting in Jose's face. Like, Jose is going to be a target for the mental games. People want to get him off his game. They want to give him a yellow card. They want to take away his intensity as best as they can. So Orlando did that perfectly with just getting in his head kind of thing. But I heard there was another angle somewhere online that showed that it was chest to chest. But the problem is, even if he did lead with his chest, all it takes is one brief interaction with the head, and just even if you touch a little bit of the head, it's still making contact, and that's enough to get you a red card.
What he did was with intent. It wasn't as if it was like an accidental thing. It was with intent.
Exactly.
He meant to bump into him. He meant to make contact. So if he ended up brushing his head up against his chin, he was gone. It was a stupid thing, and something I hope Jim really did, bollock him about in the dressing room or during the week. Just sat him down so that he didn't do that again. Otherwise, you'll be dropped. You won't be playing for the rest of the season.
Yeah, especially because Jose's been a lot better this year. I mean, in terms of his, behavioral problems, he really hasn't been too bad. And I know last year we had the game where he got the red card in the NYCFC game, and that kind of was the biggest thing there. But this year he's been a lot better. And obviously on the play, he's been better too. He's obviously one of the best sixes in the entire league. But you can't afford to lose him right now. You just can't, especially not pushing to the playoffs. You if you're going for the Shield, you need to have Jose Martinez back there. I know the argument is, well, Leon Flock is just as good. It's like, no, I'm sorry. I like Leon a lot, but he's not just as good as Jose Martinez when Jose Martinez is playing as well as he can be, which as we know is great. So it looks like Jose is in the clear then for Saturday. So that should be a relief for a lot of Union fans there. But on top of that, Jim mentions in the press conference, and again, this is a quote from Joe Tanzi. He says, "I hate games on AstroTurf. It's not the game." That's a big concern as well. David, do you have any concern about the health and the field out there on Saturday afternoon?
I think this is weird, wasn't it? Because, obviously, again, you're playing on a very different turf. So you're playing on an NFL turf, essentially. It's going to be a difficult game. I mean, again, you're going into a game where, I guess you're probably playing on grass pitches all season, and going into a game like this, you're playing on a turf, indoor as well, it's an indoor stadium, it's outside. It's going to be a unique situation for these players to walk into. It's going to be an interesting situation, I imagine. It might be one that could favour Atlanta because they play in it every single week. But, it's going to be a difficult one for the Union, that's for sure.
Yeah, and also the start time's weird. It's like you have, as an athlete, you have your rituals. You have, at 12 o'clock, I'm going to have a big pasta lunch. And then at 4 o'clock, I take a nap, whatever it might be. See the trainer at 5 o'clock. Now everything's bumped up. Everything goes 4 hours ahead of time. So it's a weird start time. You got to travel down there. Like you said, the turf, the crowd's obviously going to be larger than what you're used to if they do end up selling out that arena or if not get close to. I know they usually draw big crowds. But again, part of me also worries about what we saw last year with the CONCACAF first round game. When you go in there in that first half, you just look like shit. I mean, put it frankly, you look terrible. So I worry about Atlanta. I do. I honestly think this will be a draw, which unfortunately is not what the Union fans want to have if LAFC is hosting Houston, because Houston did beat, was it they beat LAFC or they drew against them last time around? I can't remember right now.
I'm not sure. I think they drew.
I think they drew too. I know. Houston pulled out a result. So, I assuming LAFC wins that game, if we pull out a draw, then we're both back neck and neck, which is not where you want to be. If you can at least get a draw, then and they lose, and fine, whatever. But if LAFC takes care of business as they should, then that's it's going to make the week against Toronto much more daunting there. But in terms of go ahead.
So looking at Atlanta's record this year, I think they've lost twice at home all season.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a difficult one in itself in terms of, you know, again, playing the games. I think they've picked up most of their wins this season as well, at home as well. So again, it's a bit of a fortress there. They have won their last, couple of home games. So again, they're going to be a difficult outfit to come up against.
The one thing that is in our favor a little bit is the fact that Atlanta just played Orlando in Orlando this past Wednesday. So they went, they end up squeaking out a 1-0 win at Orlando, who honestly, after that Open Cup game, is starting to look a little bit suspicious, right? with the win, the loss against us and now Atlanta. But so they did travel. So, Wednesday night, you get there late, you're out late, you're coming back Thursday. So they are going to be on short rest. So that's the one thing the Union have in their favor. They were able to have a full week's worth of rest. Atlanta did not. So it's interesting to see how they're going to switch the rotation down there, because maybe they put more effort into the Orlando game than they will for Philly. I don't know, but they're still pushing for the playoffs. So you assume that they're going to play everybody they can to do that. But before that, they beat Toronto 4-2 and they lost to Portland 2-1. So they've won two in a row now entering this match. Now they're coming back home. So I'm concerned. But in terms of the Orlando game, I know we want to talk about it briefly there. What were your thoughts on the Orlando victory that we had last weekend?
Very convincing, I think. Once, you know, you got the first 20 minutes out of the way when nothing really happened. Again, as soon as that first goal went in, I think the Union was sort of just in cruise control from that point. I think it was very much they scored five goals. Dominate the game, really. I mean, again, the game was essentially over. They scored their first goal in the 39th minute. The game was over by the 55th. I mean, even after scoring twice at halftime, you know, the classic sort of comment is like, when a team's really dominating a half time, like, you never want half time to come.
You see the Peanut comment from Peanut. Right. I heard Dave will be in the States soon. We all got to chill one night. He promises he's not a stalker. I don't know about Peanut. We're not sure yet on that. But yeah, Dave is coming to the States soon. But yeah, no, Dave, you're absolutely right. It was very interesting to see how dominating the Union have been, especially at home. It's, you know, even when you start off maybe the first 15 minutes, it's quiet. It just seems like that first goal is all it takes, and then they just are like sharks in the water smelling blood. They just keep going for it over and over and over. But we did have some concern with how they're going to play on the road when they went to, was it Orlando? What was the last time they played on the road? Now I'm forgetting here. Oh, against the Red Bulls. And they did well against the Red Bulls on the road. So now you're going against Atlanta. They kind of need to have the same performance they did against New York. I don't know if they're going to do that like we've been talking about already a few moments here. But at home, they look unstoppable. And if you win one game, you lock up home field advantage. So this game isn't just for the supporter shield. This game is for home field advantage. You lock it up. You lock up that first spot. I mean, do you think any team in the Eastern Conference is a real threat to us if we're playing in Chester?
I don't want to jinx. I mean, again, you could easily say, like, look, you haven't lost a home game all year. They've been dominant. But, I mean, all you have to do is actually go back to 2020 when they cakewalked the Eastern Conference. They won the Supporters' Shield and then got bounced, comfortably beaten by a team that they beat like five times a year in the Revs.
Six times, I believe it was.
How many times it was the Revs winning?
Played them a lot.
That's what I mean. The Revs went to Subaru Park and just walked in, were comfortable throughout the game. Won, I think, 1-2-0, I believe it was, and then walked back out there and Yeah, it was frustrating. It was a game, I think, again, maybe that it's one of the best learning curves Jim will have, especially if this team is a support shield winner. They have a first round bye. It's something that a lot of these players as well that he has retained from that period, they've lived that experience on top of the COVID situation last year. They've had those two experiences mixed into one. They want to have a good idea of what to expect. They will be hungrier to rewrite the wrongs. And so I think, again, you never know in these sort of knockout one-off games, but I think it's something that this team will be more prepared for than perhaps they were a few years ago.
You know, Dave, you bring up a good point. So you see this without even just the union, with a lot of franchises, you have these windows of championship runs, right? So look at the Phillies back in 2007, 2008. You know, the Phillies, they knock off the Mets after that big collapse. They win the NL East, and then they go to the playoffs against the Rockies, and they get, I don't think they got swept. I forget now, but the Rockies were like red hot that year. They might have gotten swept. And then the next year afterwards, they go to the World Series, and they win the World Series. You see this a lot of times with teams where they will go deep in the playoffs one year, just not quite be there yet, and then they get in there the next year and they win the title, or they at least go further into the playoffs. I think you're right. I think the losses and the COVID situation and all that negativity is great for this team, because you see how they are right now. They are so relentless in their attack, and they all say, we don't need Jim Curtin to be telling us what to do, really. We can go out there and do it, because we understand what we have to do. We know we have to go out there, put our foot on the pedal for all 90 minutes and take care of business, which is what Jim was alluding to in his press conference after the last game. He said, it's so easy to coach these guys because I can just step back and let them handle it because they know what they have to do. So I know my one buddy, Rick, he's very much like, I don't want the supporter shield because it's like a jinx. It's this voodoo type award. But at the same time, it's like, I don't have a worry that this team will have a bad game anytime soon. They've been playing that well for such a long stretch of time. I just don't see them having a letdown game. Let me knock on wood saying that, but the one team that worries me a lot, Dave, is Cincinnati. And they're creeping up into the playoff standings right now. I think if the playoffs ended today, they'd be playing, Montreal or something like that. So
yeah,
I'm worried about Cincinnati because of how confident they are against us. They drew us at home, and they obviously kicked our ass in Cincinnati. I'm kind of worried about them. Everybody else I know we can handle. I think for me it goes Cincinnati and then Montreal. Those are the two teams that in that order that I'm most worried about. Can you kind of relate to that? Or?
I don't know. Again, Cincinnati, an interesting team. I think that all the teams sort of in this playoff race will be difficult to face, I feel like. I mean, again, you look at Columbus, they're a team that always plays the Union tough and close. I mean, again, they could be the team that the Union do end up facing in that first round if they pull off a shock.
Sure.
Against Montreal. Again, as you mentioned, Cincinnati as well. Orlando is a team the Union could be facing in the next round. Yeah, I mean, every single team you look at, I mean, NYCFC, they've been on a bad run of form, but they've still got very, very good players who, if on their day and they click, they could easily beat the Union. They could cause the Union issues. So, again, I think it's one of those things where you don't, as a fan, as people, looking at the team, you don't want to get too far ahead yourself.
Right.
And this is still a very talented conference full of very good teams.
Yeah, I mean, NYCFC just won the Campeones Cup this past week. Which I don't know how much relevance that means for people. I know it's between them and the Liga MX winner, but they won that. This was 2 days ago. I know Orlando just won the Open Cup. So the one thing you have kind of in your favor sometimes with those bottom tier teams is, you know, they fight, you know, tooth and nail to get into the playoffs. They finally get into the playoffs, and it's like this relief that they got there, and they kind of just can't sustain. I think you mentioned this actually a couple weeks ago. They can't sustain that momentum, which is why the Union winning at least two of these next three games is so important, because you don't want to go into the playoffs having lost two of the last three and having lost a supporter shield, because I feel like that would be very hard to come back from. And that's, again, my concern. If they were playing two out of three at home, I'd feel a lot better. But I do worry about the trip to Charlotte, and I especially worry about the trip to Atlanta, because if they were to lose two in a row, Dave, I don't know how they would do week in the playoffs after a bye too.
Yeah.
And Toronto they're kind of out of the playoff picture by now. So maybe that last week is irrelevant, but still, if you you never know what you're going to get on decision day. You have no idea what could happen against Toronto.
And, no, exactly.
And they're a better team now than we saw them, earlier in the season. So,
yeah.
I don't know. In terms of this weekend's game, Dave, any predictions on the score, on the overall outcome, or some goal scores?
Before going to that, I was going to say, like, looking at the games, as you mentioned as well, like going into it, like back-to-back losses or two road losses, and then a win against Toronto in the last game, say, for example, it just doesn't really mean anything because, you know, perhaps NAFC won two games in a row, whatever.
Yeah.
One thing that, is still so strange to me is that game against Pachuca in the international break. It's such a risk to have play against a team. Obviously, you sort of see it all the time, like, in friendlies, like, teams from the same league will play each other and, you know, just play like a casual friendly, nothing really too difficult, just to get some minutes in the legs. But, I don't know, it's just one of those games I'm not a massive fan on needing perhaps doing so late in the season.
Neither am I. The only thing that makes me feel a little bit better is the fact that, let's say you go to Atlanta and you don't win, right? You lose 1-0 or 2-0. That friendly, although obviously not in significance, at least kind of gets your mind off that loss. You know, it kind of gets you back in the flow of things. Even if you assuming you win, right? You get a little win. Okay, you got some goals here or there. It at least kind of lets you regroup. Or if you beat Atlanta, it keeps those players fresh. Okay, let's get Matt Real in here. Let's get Jack McGlynn. Let's get some of the new guys in there. Let's keep our veterans, get 20-30 minutes here or there to kind of get their legs going. I like it in that way because if we are coming off a loss, I want to have even some positive momentum going into the Charlotte game.
Yeah.
And even if it's not even the momentum side of things, I don't want to be rusty going to Charlotte because Charlotte could be the game we clinch the shield for all we know, depending on the outcomes between LAFC. So if LAFC loses and we win against Atlanta, I don't want to have this break now. I want to keep this momentum and this energy going. Let's kick the shit out of them on the friendly and let's go to the next one. I don't know. I mean, I also worry about the health, though. I mean, God forbid somebody tweaks an ankle or something. It's I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
And then I think as well, you're playing as a team who, I mean, again, Liga MX is quite a very, in comparison to the MLS as well, they're a team that's also in the middle of their season.
Yep.
Liga MX is also quite a physical, tough league as well. I think it's one of those games where, again, they're not going to shy away from the game just because it's a friendly. They're just going to play 100% and they're going to have players who, you know, are fighting to make an impression. They're going to be looking to, you know, perhaps win the prize for a manager in the final couple of games. I mean, this is, do you know what I mean? Like, with the Union, I think this gym uses it as an opportunity to, like, rest. You know, even getting like Pachuca, who are actually doing quite well at the moment. They're actually third in the Mexican League, so they've got stuff to fight for. But unless Jim uses the friendly as an opportunity to give players like Brandon Craig, Matt Real minutes. Chris Donovan, Corey Burke start, like, a nod start here or there, drumming like Aronson and McGlynn, whatever, like Quinn Sullivan. This is, I don't know, I wouldn't play the first team players longer than like 30 minutes.
Yeah. You don't want to risk it. Just keep them in their form, get their minutes in, and that's about it. But anyway, Dave, this weekend, like I said, we have a Saturday afternoon matinee game around 3:30, which of course means it's not going to start till like 3:50, to be honest with you, which I know you hate being from out of states, how late these games start after the start time. So personally, I'll make my prediction first. I struggle to think we win this game. I actually think we draw. I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I don't know why. The turf is a weird thing. I know Andre Blake is unstoppable, but I don't know. I'm going to go 2-2 draw. I think Daniel continues to score, and I think Corey Burke gets one in the back of the net as well. How about you, Dave?
I think it's going to be a tough one. I think, again, you look at the game. You mentioned the recent games Union have had. Things at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I mean, look at that. I mean, the 3-0 game, as amazing as that was, most of the night that was a fluke. I mean, it was such a fluky game where
it was.
And another night, Union are 3-0 down, 4-0 down at half time, and they're out, the game's over, the tie's over then. But again, I think this is a different Union team now in terms of the way, not only their approach to games like this, but in terms of how they play on the ball and how they attack the game. I mean, that trio of guys like Uar and Carranza can strike from anywhere. They've proven it in recent weeks. over the last couple of months. Again, you look at the game last year as well, the Union were bloody crap for 85 minutes, and then the last 6 minutes of the game scored twice, including Nicholas and Thunderbolt.
Yep.
Incredible.
Okay,
1-1.
When you say 1-1?
Yeah, as far as I'm pessimistic, I just think it's one of those games where I think it is a trap. I think that of your last three games, this is your trap game, I think, where...
Yes.
Again, I think Charlotte, obviously, you could be playing a team like Charlotte in their last home game who perhaps aren't playing for anything. Well, won the last home game, sorry, because I think they got game in hand, actually, Charlotte. Charlotte got
game in hand. They have 35 points, 30 games, yep.
So they could still be in the playoff hunt by the potentially in that point. Sure. Still, again, you're playing a team like Charlotte who are really on the fringe. They're perhaps like on their last legs. So you never know. Like that's the sort of game where it could go either way. But I think that's one the Union could probably eke out and win. But then Toronto, you're playing against a team whose season is over, irrespective of what happens these last few games.
But then even then, you know, if you do struggle to pick up a win or two, or if you lose both of the games upcoming, playing a team like Toronto who may be playing their B squad isn't exactly an uplifting victory. It's just like,
It depends if you end up winning the support shield that day, though, and it keeps momentum going. And
yeah.
Like, again, it depends what's going on when it could, because, I mean, then they're mugs, Toronto. I mean... Somehow they've signed like half of Italy's retired starting 11 with Bernadeschi, what's called Domenico Crescito, and what's called Insigne. Obviously, they've got a very, very strong team. They're all difficult games on paper, I think. If you look at what's it called, Toronto without the Italian trio, that's the game you look at and probably going, that's an easy win, but again, they've obviously strengthened drastically since the last time Union played them. So yeah, it's gonna be a really difficult game.
And right now, if you look at the last five games between the Union and Atlanta, you had obviously the 4-1 win just this past month, and you had the 1-0 victory last year, as well as a 2-2 draw, which is what you're referring to, the Glass Nest, you know, big banger right there. But then you have the CONCACAF games, and of course, as you said, the first half of the CCL match was all Atlanta. Yes, we have this miraculous second half. But then when you look at that second game against Atlanta, we had basically locked up the next round. I mean, they would needed a miracle to beat us. So it's you really can't take that 1-1 draw in Chester with too much, you know, value to it. It was kind of a wash. It was almost like a practice game, really. Go ahead.
As well, you look at the strength and depth that Atlanta has got as well. I mean, they've got Araujo, Dom Dwyer, Thiago Almada. Muscle Marcelino Moreno and
Martinez,
obviously Joseph Martinez, who's obviously one of the best strikers in MLS history. Who even if he doesn't start, he's going to be an option off the bench, and that could be a game changer as well. So again, there's plenty that you need to watch out for.
Which he was last game. So I believe Dwyer started against Orlando, if I remember correctly. So most likely, you might get Martinez to start against you on Saturday, which I don't really want. I was happy when he came in late against us, a couple weeks ago, because at that point, the game was fairly over, or at least about to be over. I worry about him at home, you know, making any sort of noise, even if it is 25 minutes off the bench. But, Dave, so you said 1-1 is your score prediction. What is your goal score for that?
I will say Gaztag. I think he's in too hot of a run to
MVP.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing too. We might win MVP this year. That's in the issue as well. If we can win the Supporter Shield, have our MVP, and get the first spot in the East, all within the next couple weeks, that's pretty exciting stuff. It just depends how Mukhtar plays for Nashville over these next couple weeks as well. It's basically going to come down to who has a better final three games, really.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I said, tomorrow afternoon, rather, 3:45-ish, they play. I'll be covering the match for AAT Sports Network. I know, Dave, you'll be watching the game as well, so we'll be chatting back and forth. I'm sure Jose is going to jump in there as well. Before we go, we forgot to read the sponsors, Dave. Jesus Christ, what are we doing here on our Friday night? We forgot to read the sponsors, so I got to read them real quick. subscribe to the YouTube channel to win a Brian Dawkins poster. My goodness. You get a chance to win that if you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Next up, we have Statement Games Incorporated at statementgames.com for a fun new way to fantasy sports and entertainment. You can win gift cards and prizes. It's free to sign up at statementgames.com. Next up, we have Vinny's Pizza and Restaurant in Allentown, PA. They are serving Italian cuisine, including pizza, pasta, burger, sandwiches, and more. They're available for pickup or delivery at vinnyspizzapa.com. There you go. My prompter was taking forever to show that. My apologies, Vinny's Pizza. Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we have Stuff to the Grills at 6750 Iroquois Trail number 5 in Allentown, PA. Stufftothegrills.com. Check out our funky Cubano sweet chili shrimp po' boy and the house-made meatloaf. Both of those are right near each other, so please check them out if you're really hungry and need to check out two restaurants in one day. And that is our sponsor reads, but of course, we have our network shop, aatsportsnetwork.com/shop, for all network gear. Bunch of cool stuff on there. Actually, Dave, I've been needing to talk to you. I need to get you and Jose to help me with a piece for the Union to put out if they do win the Shield and enter the playoffs. Okay. I have a little customized artwork right there. So we'll discuss that soon. But, Dave, any final thoughts before we sign off?
There's nothing there for me. I think it's going to be a tough game tomorrow, one that I think he's probably one of the standout games in the MLS schedule tomorrow, I feel. Two teams have got plenty of the line. In fact, two teams got all on the line of the Union fighting for the support shield, and obviously Atlanta fighting to actually get in the playoff place. Apart from that, perhaps the New York Derby between third and fourth place. It's going to be, there's a lot of games this weekend that perhaps aren't as big as those two.
Yeah, LAFC fans will be Atlanta United fans from around 3:45 Eastern time tomorrow, which I'm sure they'll be rooting for them hard, just the way we did for Minnesota. I've never been a bigger Minnesota United fan than I was this past Tuesday. It's a shame they almost beat them. They hadn't scored in like three matches, and they went up 1-0. Of course, Carlos Vela just became Carlos Vela for 10 seconds and put an absolutely amazing goal. Did you see that goal by Carlos?
No, I did not. But I was going to say...
Yep.
I mean, again, the Union fans, what's it called? Being Minnesota, well, Philadelphia fans being Minnesota fans was incredibly short-lived going off this weekend's, next Monday's events in the NFL.
Yeah, I was going to say, on Monday night, we're all going to hate Minnesota again as they play off the Vikings. And on Monday Night Football, which I know for you is tough considering how late of a game that is.
I'll be worried about that. I'll be watching it.
You'll be up. I know you will. All right, everybody. Happy Friday night. Go Union.
Go Union, Duke.